Thanks, Rob. It's Download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, as we've been talking about all night tonight. Today, shocking news that DNA Info and Gothamist, the parent company for the site Chicagoist here in Chicago, put up a letter on the site saying that they were folding. Joe Ricketts, the millionaire owner, said that the business was unsustainable and determined that there was not enough money left to continue the business. So DNA Info, DNA Info Chicago, Gothamist, Chicagoist, they're out. The journalists involved, of course, hundreds, have a severance through February, I think you said, Pete. February 2nd or something like that. It's just such a tough story, and there's so many friends and colleagues and people that you respect that have worked at both publications here in town, and it really is to see the outpouring of love and affection for that work on social media has been heartwarming, but to say the least, you know, it's bittersweet. On the line with us, Scott Smith. He's the he's our new media contributor and a one-time writer and contributor to the Chicagoist site. Scott, great to talk to you on such a sour occasion.
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, as you said, I was a writer there. I was one of the very early folks between 2004 and 2007. And I met my wife there. So, I mean, I owe a career and a pretty great marriage and a great kid to it. So it's tough for me. And I was, frankly, somebody who, with all the community work that I do, was often pitching stories to DNA Info. So, you know, seeing the loss of some original reporting on the neighborhood level is just really stunning.
We'll talk about the hyper-local and the local reaction, but also the impact on the media landscape. But you know, as I kind of summed it up a little bit, but from the letter and from the readings today, why now? Why Joe Ricketts pull the plug on DNA?
Yeah, I mean, this was the November is the fifth anniversary, or would have been the fifth anniversary of DNA Info Chicago. The New York site started in 2009. So, you know, this was not this wouldn't have been news that the model that they were currently pursuing, the way that they were pursuing it, was not exactly bringing in the kind of revenue they were looking for. But a week ago, the New York City office unionized, and the folks that were running DNA Info were making veiled and maybe not so veiled threats that if there was unionizing going on in their shop, then they weren't sure if the business was going to continue to be viable. Now, keep in mind, there's nothing that has occurred at this point that would have changed any of the financials around DNA Info. So the only thing that's changed in the last 8 years of New York and in the last 5 years of Chicago has been the unionizing in the New York office.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about DNA Info, talk about their impact. I mean, we'll talk about Chicago's as well, but let's first talk about DNA Info. DNA Info Chicago, as you mentioned, 5 years this November. Talk about the impact of a site coming into Chicago and reporting on neighborhoods.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not only just the work that they were doing, but at the time they were doing it. I mean, I can't speak maybe as much to some of their other cities like San Francisco, but, you know, definitely in Chicago, you saw the Tribune and the Sun-Times doing less and less of the neighborhood level local reporting that they had done in the past. And DNA Info really filled that hole. And they did it in a digital only news shop. They did have a print product that they developed later, but started off and were largely on a digital platform. And they not only published there, but they were doing a lot of work in finding stories in local Facebook groups and, you know, looking at, you know, local blogs and things like that. So they were doing a sort of digital street level reporting that a lot of folks just had not been doing. And there were only really a couple of blogs, and they were blogs like Chicagoist and Gaper's Block here in Chicago. Gaper's Block also, you know, famously, you know, closed up shop not too long ago. So, you know, DNA came along after, you know, sites like Chicagoist and Gaper's Block had been doing it for, you know, 5 or 6 years. It's important to remember, you know, Gawker was 2002. Mm-hmm. Gothamist, the network of city blogs, started in 2003 along with Gaper's Block, and then Chicagoist in 2004. So these folks were around you know, for a significant amount of time before DNA Info, but they were all kind of cut from the same cloth. You know, I think the IST networks got more into aggregation in these later years, but, you know, DNA Info really kind of picked up and ran with it and did the kind of original reporting that the IST networks were doing in their earlier days. And, you know, the IST networks were really doing a lot of the kind of media commentary and alternative news work that a lot of the alt weeklies did. And obviously, this has been a time when alt weeklies have been in decline as well. So DNA Info, you know, in particular, was, you know, filling that local news hole quite a bit, you know, and the IST networks were really doing a lot. I would say particularly around food and around culture is where Chicagoist in particular did its best original reporting.
You know, having a parent company out of a different town, New York, in this case, DNA Info and Gothamist. Talk about, because you and I have talked about the sustainability and viability of these sites. How were they able to translate the hits and the eyeballs into revenue, especially when, you know, you're talking about companies that are in different cities? How what was their model to, was it just straight up putting ads on the site?
Right. I mean, that's largely what their model was. I mean, they were doing some maybe what they call, you know, the native advertising kind of stuff, but it was really an ad and mostly display ad driven model. And what they had improved upon that the sort of early hyperlocal sites had as a sort of black mark against them was, you know, the hyperlocal sites were maybe only delivering a portion of the city, whereas Chicagoist and the DNA Infos, because they were reporting all over the city, they're able to deliver the whole city. And then when you've got a network of sites like DNA Info is developing, like Gothamist, and it's worth, you know, remembering that this, you know, purchase went through just not too long ago, just a couple years ago. And so DNA Info was really trying to say, we're going to get our arms around all of the digital ad revenue that's possible inside a city from people who are younger, who are interested in what's happening in their neighborhood. So they were trying to kind of pull all of that digital revenue together, which is what hyperlocals had traditionally not been able to do. But unfortunately, you know, the economics of things are making it not possible to just run a site on ad revenue. You're going to need multiple streams. And honestly, local reporting is going to be financed by subscriptions going forward. It's just, you know, we've seen the bigger ones like the New York Times are now at a point where subscription revenue is outpacing their digital ad revenue. And I think we're going to see a lot of the smaller folks go in that same direction. The problem is we're getting to a point where there's a lot of big folks like the New York Times, and there's a lot of small neighborhood papers, but there are not a lot of folks in the middle, and it's those middle ground folks, and this is exactly what happened here, that are getting taken out of the game.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and I want to ask the question about Chicago. I want to talk a little bit more about Chicagoist, but also about what happened today and what this does, and what does this say to the media landscape? What's it say to investors and to entrepreneurs about getting into the business of startups and digital news sites? Scott Smith, our new media contributor here in The Download, also the director of editorial content at Teamworks Media. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll start talking those questions. Scott Smith on the line. He is the director of editorial content at Teamworks Media, also our new media contributor. We're talking about the story today where DNA Info and Chicagoist here in town shut down the end of the two great local sites here in Chicago covering the news. Let's talk about Chicagoist, Scott. You know, as you mentioned, you were there 2004. I've always loved that site. And I want to start talking about what it provided Chicago, because I also wonder if the Gothamists and the Chicagoists, if this is sort of the end of an era of the curatorial sites that are almost rewriting the news or telling us what to look at. And you know like the a lot of what, you know, we wanted from the internet early in the days, and it seems like those sites are going away.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, the early days of the sort of, you know, commentary about the media internet. Gawker starts in 2002, Gothamist starts in 2003, you know, Chicagoist starts in 2004. You know, back at that time, it seems crazy now, but there were not a lot of websites who were taking the news of the day and putting it through a different filter. It was still very straight news. you know, you had some blogs, but they were mostly, you know, kind of approaching things still with that sort of news and reportorial idea. You know, the idea that you would, you know, kind of cast a gimlet eye at the news and make fun of it a little bit and have a voice with it, that was not happening at that point, other than these few early sites. And now we see that kind of all over. You know, it is not unusual to find that, you know, the whole hot takes genre is sort of used and abused. And, you know, back at that point, you know, people kind of took this with a fair amount of seriousness. You know, there weren't a lot of folks that were kind of saying, like, look, there are audiences that you're ignoring. There are points of view that you're ignoring. And that's why the IS sites and blogs like that were really, really important. You know, now that's all over the place. You know, it's even sort of baked into more traditional news at this point. And there are plenty of, you know, venture capitalists who are contributing to sites who are doing, you know, things that are similar. And I think a lot of the aggregation that those sites did in the early days, that's now become less important because we are now viewing most of our news through the filter of Google and the filter of Facebook and the filter of Twitter. And so we've already kind of curated and aggregated the news that we're looking for. And so you're actually finding all of that through now the people that you are friends with on social networks. And so it's hard for sites to kind of come up with a new way of doing that. So, yeah, there is, you know, some level of, you know, what is the hole that's left to fill. And we're now back to a place where there are a lot of, because of a lot of the mainstream and larger news organizations are reducing the number of people who work there. We are back at a point now where it's, you know, like the alt weeklies of old, where the stories that aren't being told are those smaller stories. You know, those are the, you know, malfeasance on the part of township boards or school boards and things like that, that need to be told. And, you know, I was just thinking there was a DNA story today about a, you know, principal who was sort of abusing her authority and all of the community work that went on to kind of band together and end up, you know, getting this principal out of office. I mean, that's the bread and butter story that a DNA info or that a IS site would jump on very, very early and might eventually get picked up by some of the dailies. And that's the other thing, is that this sort of news ecosystem that used to exist, where a story would kind of bubble up from blogs or some of these, you know, sort of more corporate blogs like the IS sites, and then eventually would end up in, you know, your kind of daily newspapers, or even, you know, a career path for a journalist. You know,
I was going to say, for a lot of young voices, people to craft their voice. And Chicagoists in general, I mean, with you and others, I mean, you guys were able to, and to be able to write up a story, to editorialize a story in a good way, to put voice to a story, to, I think of a lot of the arts and culture stuff that Jim was doing, other people where you just got this vibe that there was passionate people behind these words. And it meant something that they were writing about the issues they were writing about.
When Chicagoist was first getting started, you know, this is right when, you know, Pitchfork started doing a music festival here. This is when Lollapalooza came back. And so, you know, we were doing a lot of that festival coverage. And now it's, again, it's everybody's doing it. It's all over the place. It's huge. You know, but this was stuff where you could really stand out in your coverage of cultural things. And, you know, I think about Red Eye has reduced its frequency. Time Out has reduced its frequency. Huffington Post Chicago doesn't exist anymore. DNA is gone. Like, there's a damage to the way in which stories develop and bubble up and get reported. And it's not just about the number of reporters, but it is the way in which you could kind of go deep if you were on some of these kind of smaller places and you could get really focused. Which would, and, you know, frankly, you had beat reporters who knew the players and knew why something stunk.
Let me ask you, Scott.
That's what we're losing.
Yeah,
now.
But and that's really the point here, in this way that, do you see it as an opportunity where, okay, all these different sites you just mentioned, it's amazing to think about the wreckage of what was a very healthy online ecosystem here in Chicago when it came to local media, the sites that you just mentioned that aren't around. And it was only 10 years ago that people were having conferences at hotels going, this is the future of media, and these sites aren't here. And you've been involved with Touch Vision and other places. Is it an opportunity or is it the end?
You know, I still think it's going to require a level of engagement on the audience side that is not the kind of thing that, you know, a venture capitalist firm or the average investor is going to put their money into. Because it, first of all, it takes a fair amount of money and it takes a fair amount of time. And it's going to, and frankly, at this point, you know, it is going, you're going to see a lot more unionization of newsrooms. I mean, that's going to, as things get worse, you're going to start to see more of that. But it's really going to be about like being in these communities and thinking of yourself less as a newspaper where you decide or editors decide what the news is, and more about thinking what is a need that has gone unfilled in the community, and actually working with community members and partnering with communities to actually report on news and actually be embedded in these communities, and frankly, in ways that DNA Info certainly was. But it's also going to involve, you know, developing audience data and developing events. And it's not just going to be about kind of hooking yourself up to a Google ad network and waiting for the money to pour in.
Yeah, and that seems to be what everyone, the mistakes that have been made has been, we're going to do this, it's going to be great, we're going to invest in local journalism, and the money's just going to roll in. And the money doesn't roll in because it's an antiquated system when it comes to digital advertising. Many companies have already sniffed that out and been like, we're not paying for it. The big sort of sponsorship opportunities haven't been there. And frankly, at the end of the day, the eyeballs haven't been there in any sort of, like you just mentioned, any sort of engaged way that is actually going to move the needle. So the question is this reading in the tea leaves to say, okay, well, maybe there's just not an appetite. Maybe the consumers in Chicago are okay with the 10 o'clock news and a couple of newspapers, and they don't necessarily desire anything more.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's too easy to look at some of these. Here's the biggest thing is that what we've gotten away from is the stuff that was really interesting about the IS sites when they first started and what was really great about the All Weeklies. And we've gotten to a point where a lot of digital news becomes whatever your 250-word version is of the same story that everybody else is posting about. And that just, you know, again, that was something that, you know, the Chicagoists of the world and, you know, kind of came up on. And you know, because the voice seemed unique at the time, you could skate on that. And you could actually do a pretty interesting write-up on that. But now everybody's doing that. And so you have to distinguish yourself with some original reporting. You have to distinguish yourself with the smaller niche stories. And those are harder to report on because they just take more time. And they involve really being close to your audience and knowing who your audience is. So all of these platforms that have gotten in between the publisher and the audience, they are not where you are going to find the revenue if you are a small to medium-sized publisher. Yeah. You're really going to be having to develop your own audiences. You're going to be really tight with the community and figuring out what's going to service them the most. And from all the commentary from people that I've seen online tonight, it's very clear people are like, look, I would give $10 a month if this meant DNA Info Chicago hung around for a little bit longer. Right. So there are folks who are interested in and dying to pay for news now at this point. And I think you're going to start to see the model change where people are saying, okay, if we're going to stick around, but it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
And I hope people kind of understand that at this point.
Scott Smith is the Download's new media contributor, a former writer and contributor to the site Chicagoist. DNA Info and Chicagoist no more tonight, as Joe Ricketts pulled the plug on the parent companies, DNA Info and Gothamist in New York. They will be paid, the journalists, through February. Scott Smith is also the director of editorial content at Teamworks Media here in town. Scott, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Justin.